There is no war without pain. I've had 3 sons in the military, one who saw combat. He was in air rescue in Iraq, and he wasn't physically injured. He got no bullet wounds, he lost no limbs. I'm very blessed that he came back bodily whole. And yet, there was damage. He still, and this is years and years, wakes up in sweats, has dreams almost every night, nightmares of the terrors of the war. He doesn't like loud noises. He's injured. He's a veteran who saw too much in an ugly situation. Air rescue always goes in when things are already atrocious to pick up the remains and try and salvage the situation. And though he came back physically whole, there was damage that will always be. And as we remember today soldiers on this Memorial Day weekend, those who lost their lives, I want us to make this and transfer it into another war. Because apart from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the multitudes of conflicts throughout the world where armies are fighting, there's a greater war going on, of which all those are only skirmishes that show themselves in the physical realm. And it's a war that began before man was even created. When Satan rebelled against God in heaven and took a third of the stars of heaven, a third of the angels with him, and said, "I will be as God. I will set my throne on the sides of the north." And when men were created, the serpent came down into that realm that God had given man, and the serpent, through treachery and deception, confused and confounded and caused the woman and then the man to sin. And the war has been going on since. And God in the Old Testament said, "I am a God of war." And he was not an armchair general that sat up there telling people where to go and moving them around on a map. He does that. The angels fight and humans fight on his behalf in this war. But he came down himself. God came down himself. And he was the soldier who fought the battle against the dragon and won. But there is always pain in war. And there is always damage in war. And Christ did not finish that war unchanged. Christ took on human flesh. And forever, the God of the universe, who created everything with a breath and a word, will have nail scars in his hands and in his feet. After he rose, those were still there. And he told Thomas, "Put your hand in my side." And forever, God is joined to a body. And that is the price of the war. And the Lord says through his word in Philippians chapter 2, he exhorts us on this Memorial Day to remember and follow. He says in verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He says, we are to think, as we go through our battles and as we go through our daily life, we are to think as he thought. Like a good soldier thinks, not of himself, but of the goal and of the battle, and of making it through, no matter what the cost. You know, I see a lot of things on Facebook and other sites today about, and the scenes are always touching. There's a woman lying at the foot of a grave in one of the military cemeteries. A young woman, pretty woman, with flowers put at the headstone of the man who was supposed to be her husband. And a little caption at the bottom, just in case you thought this was National Barbecue Weekend. And I thought about that, and it's true. You know, she doesn't barbecue on Memorial Day. But then I thought of something else. We do, and we do for a reason. Because that's what they fought for. They fought so that we could have the freedom to enjoy those things in this country that we enjoy. And there's nothing wrong at this point with thinking for them. Go out and barbecue and thank them for making that possible. And Christ said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it with abundance. And how many of us are living that abundant life? But see, the thing is, we're soldiers too. And we're to look at his example. And on this Memorial Day weekend, I want us to look at this soldier. I want us to look at the warrior from heaven and what it cost him to buy our abundant life. So we're going to go through Philippians chapter 2 today. And we're going to look at it because we are to have that mind. And we are to follow in that footstep. So we're going to look at the hero who goes to battle. And it starts like this in verse 6. It says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. See, a lot of people today want to get rid of Christ in the form of God. Jesus Christ is God. He could do anything he wants. He could take the universe and squish it between two fingers, all 15 billion light years of it, and it would cease to exist. He is God, but he did not hold on to that privilege. See, this is his glory. This is where he could have stayed. He didn't have to go to war for you. He didn't have to go to war for me. He could have just let this whole thing fall. But see, part of being in the form of God is to have his attributes. And the Bible says that one of his attributes is God is love. And being in the form of God, he chose to love. He said it's not considered being equal with God as something to be held on to. In verse 6. Did not consider it robbery. Did not consider something to be grasped. He was no draft dodger. He was no one who said, I won't go. I remember Woodstock. I remember, you know, hell no, we won't go. As their brothers and sisters were dying on foreign soil. Not Jesus. When the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit came up with a plan to defeat Satan and save you and me, Jesus says, I'm here. I'll leave heaven. I'll leave what I have. I don't hold it tight. For us. For bags of dirt. That just happened to be that which God loves. It says in verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. That's an old formal way of saying it. The Greek is much more succinct and clear. It says he emptied himself. Think of that. We want to be full, don't we? How many of us like to be empty? He emptied himself. He left behind the use and all that he had in that heavenly realm. He couldn't get rid of it. That would stop him from being him. But he chose to come and live like us. No more I can do whatever I want. He was a man under orders. A soldier on the battlefield. Living like the other soldiers. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. He emptied himself of all that perfect, never feeling anything painful, eternal deity feeling. He was still God, but he didn't experience life that way during his time in the battlefield. He experienced life like you and I do. He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. He came down, not in some big city, but in some little town, born in a stable, placed in a manger, given poor parents, poor financially, because they were good parents. He went on to live a life as a carpenter, and then a person with nowhere to lay his head. He emptied himself, made himself of no reputation. Jesus who? Nobody then at the beginning knew. And even when everybody was starting to hear, they tried to push him out, try to marginalize him, try to push him aside. They couldn't take what he was doing. He emptied himself to the point, it says in verse 7, taking on the form of a slave, of a bondservant. He came into enemy territory. He came into Satan's conquered land. And he took on the form of a slave. And the same word form here is the word that was used above when it says he was in the form of God. As much as Christ was God, now Christ was a servant to all. God doesn't have to serve anybody, but Christ said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. He says in his gospel that to those that are faithful to him, he will wait their tables. This is a soldier. You know, I remember when my sons went into the military. All of a sudden, you don't belong to yourself. You know, Dr. Roberts last week talked about two soldiers in the Old Testament, two prophets, Moses and mostly Elijah, who went AWOL, absent without leave. And what occurred to both of them because they did so. Because you can't do that without consequences in an army. My sons, you know, today, if one of you guys leaves your job, or if I leave my job, you might get fired, but you know what? You're still free. You go AWOL in the army, you could end up in jail. They own you. You are theirs for the length of the contract. You belong to Uncle Sam. He tells you when you can get up. He tells you when you can go to sleep. He tells you when you're going to eat. He tells you when you're going to have vacation, or if you're going to have vacation. And if he decides to change his mind and you've already planned your vacation trip to Bora Bora or to Hawaii or to Tahiti or whatever you want to do, and you've got it all planned, all of a sudden he says, well, guess what? We need you on the field. Guess what? Hawaii will have to wait. I don't care if you plan, if you're married, we want you over here and your wife over here. That's the army. You are a bond slave. When you're a soldier, you're owned by those who sent you. And Christ came down and he was a soldier. And he sat there, kneeled there at the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, is there any way we can change the battle plan? But I'm under orders. Not my will, but yours be done. He knew what it took to win a war. He made himself a bondservant, a slave. He followed his own rules. You know, Hebrews says that through the things he suffered, he learned obedience. God knows everything. God is omniscient. But God had never had to obey anyone, ever. Who does God obey? He knew what it was about, but he had never experienced it. And now he was. It's like my son, Matthew, when he went into the Navy. He was a real difficult, a little bit difficult as a teenager, you know. And so he went into the Navy and he thought, I need some discipline. Because he didn't like to listen to mommy and daddy. And he wrote, he talked to mom afterwards. He said to Angie, he said, I got in the Navy because I didn't want to listen to mom. And now I got 100 moms telling me what to say and what to do and where to go. Everybody tells you, especially in boot camp. And so Jesus comes down and he subjects himself, not just to his Father and to the Holy Spirit, but to his human mother and father, and to the rules and regulations of the world around him, and to laws like gravity and other things. You know, he was tired. He was hungry. He was subject and obedient to all those things he had put into place as he entered the battle on our behalf. It says he came in the likeness of men in verse 7. John 1:14 says the word became flesh and set his tent among us. Again, a sort of military language. He's on the move, and he's on the move with us, and he's part of the same army, and he's part of the same soldiers, and he's identifying. You know, Shakespeare has one play where the king disguises himself as a common soldier and goes amongst the troops to see what they think and to see what it's like to not be up and high and mighty. Well, Shakespeare was just following Jesus in that. He came amongst us. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says he was tested or tempted or tried in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He knows what you feel, soldier. He knows what you're going through. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the people who have betrayed you. He knows the people who have denied you. He's felt your hunger. He's felt your sickness. He knows what it's like to lose people you love. We don't know what happened to Joseph, but by the time he was crucified, Joseph was gone. He gave his mother over in the care of John. He knows what it's like to lose a father. Even that, he knows. So you can come to him, he says. He's our high priest. You can come before his throne because he's felt what you feel. He knows what it's like. It's part of the battle. It's part of the war. It's part of what he went through. And it's part of what he's putting us as soldiers into that situation. He became, it says in verse 8, obedient. Being found in appearance or in aspect as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is what Veterans Day, or Memorial Day, I mean, is about. It's about the fallen soldiers. It's about those who have given their life, as Jesus says, or as John says in 1 John, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Or Jesus says in John chapter 10, the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. As a soldier, we're called to do that. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, as he's looking at the possibility of death, he looks at it and he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, one thing that's different between this war and every other war is that death does not end us in this war. See, it's very, very sad about the wars of men that when a person, a soldier, dies on the battlefield, that's it. He's dead, and quite apart, without considering his spiritual state, his family, his loved ones will never see him again. There is no resurrection in the human war. And this is where our war is different. Because Jesus Christ rose. And we will rise. And so you think, well, what's so big about this? He died, he rose. It wasn't permanent. And it's true. It ought to give us some strength that regular soldiers just may not have. Shouldn't it? If you know that you're not really going to die, if you know that you're going to be raised again, glorified and incorruptible, what do you fear? What do I fear? Why are we afraid to live the Christian life? I can understand fear on a human battlefield. I can understand going in as a soldier and talking totally apart from that soldier's individual faith in Christ. But just as a general soldier, going into the battle and facing mortars and facing rockets and facing bombs, knowing that any one of those can hit you and it's over. I can understand people fleeing the battlefield with that as the end. And yet, they still go forward. And yet, they still fight. Even atheists, even those who have no hope, if they're in the army and they go into combat, they fight. Where they get their courage from, I don't know. But we don't have that problem, do we? We know where we're going. We've come to Christ as our Savior. He saved us through His death on the cross. We know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. What are we afraid of in the war? And I know it's natural because we fall back into our old way of thinking. And I haven't done a thing with the slides. I've just gotten into this whole thing and kept on just going. But you know, like I went to Monterey last week and I had Christians come tell me, are you sure? You sure you want to go to Monterey? You know how dangerous it can be in Mexico right now? Well, you know, I don't like danger anymore. I don't even get on roller coasters. But you know what? If they kill me, I gain. The question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that God has that under control? When He calls you to go to somewhere that you're sort of have a little trepidation about, do you go? Are we like Isaiah? Here am I, send me. Jesus Christ knew from the moment He came down on earth and had consciousness, He knew where His end was. He knew He was going to be hanged on a cross. And He said, here am I, send me. He was obedient to the death of the cross. Because in this war, death is not the end. And He says, because of this, therefore, verse 9, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our hero. This is our soldier. This is the one we remember. His death and His glorious resurrection. But remember how we started. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What mind? The mind of a warrior, the mind of a soldier, the mind that says, Satan, this is not yours. Those souls of my family and my friends, this culture that you're taking and twisting and destroying, this is not yours. This belongs to my God, and every square inch of it is His. He made it and He bought it. And He gave me and you the authority to go in and win. The Bible says in Romans 8, we are not just conquerors, but we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Does it not say that? Is that not warrior language? Why are we conquerors? Because I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Amen. On this Memorial Day, remember. On this Memorial Day, do what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. This Memorial Day, remember the warrior God you serve and follow. let the devil and the demons tremble. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Let's make that song truth in our lives. Onward, onward, Christian soldiers. And if we die, we die. Because we will be raised. And for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if something happens to us, but remember, there is pain. There is damage. Christ still has nail scars. You go through that war, you may die, you may not. You will not come out unchanged. There will be pain. There will be difficulty. There will be exhaustion. There will be times of harsh reality. But God will take those as He took Christ, and He will glorify those, and you too will be highly exalted. What does God say? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will what? Exalt you in due time. There was a reason I didn't put notes today. I just wanted you to listen. Writing. If you want to take notes, the sermon will be on the website. You can go back and listen at your leisure and take notes. But today I just wanted us to hear. I wanted us to hear God calling. Church of God, remember and follow. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for all the things You've done. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our warrior, our soldier, who left the peace and fullness of heaven to come down into our troubled world and fight for our release. And He gathers Himself an army, and the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we here are soldiers remembering our fallen hero whom You rose from the dead. Lord, we're the only people on earth with a war that is guaranteed of victory, and whose soldiers never finally lose. Because as we humble ourselves, as Your Son did, to the death, to taking all that we have and losing it here, You promise that we get 100-fold. Thank You, God, for Your riches and glory, and for the certainty of victory. And we pray for our soldiers here on earth that don't know these truths, that they would come to them, and it would give them peace and strength on this Memorial Day weekend. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.